B&E.
I had the bubble guts on Sunday in my car, in the car. You know the car wash that you go through and you sit in the car? Oh, dude, I was in the car wash and all of a sudden it started to hit me and I was like, what am I going to do? So I'm playing music and I'm like dancing and moving in the car and I kept looking at the part. I'm going, pre-wash? And I'm going, oh, I'm like rocking in the car. I didn't even wait for the thing, you know, the big dryer at the end. I'm like, and the car spun, and I did like a Tiger Woods where my rims hit the side of the wall there.
Oh.
And I got out of there so quick. I just made it.
Sure is, B&E on a Buck Off Thursday. Glad you're with us. Show the people rolling. In the month of July, we're going to hit a lot of fantasy football conversation coming up on our Coach's Corner because it's time to start to wrapping your head around the 2017 football season. BK and I, and we're going to try to reach out to our guy, Adam Wagner from the Wagner Wire. He's a fantasy football guru. Try to start putting the pieces together. Who are the obvious top picks? Who are the obvious running backs, quarterbacks, receivers? Who are some of the sleepers? Start percolating on some of that. Plus the basketball stories of the day, the news of the day from the baseball diamonds as well, and your buck-ons and buck-offs at 447-3776. Beck's text line 512-337-3776. Bucky taking the day. Somebody texted earlier saying, is Bucky part-time now? Well, it's one-day work week because we were off all weekend. But if you know Buck, the 17th annual Mullet Open is tomorrow, and it's pretty much he and a young lady named Jancy put this entire event on. And they do it every year, and it's pretty incredible what they do. If you played in it, you understand the labor of love that it is and the undertaking that Bucky goes through to make this thing happen coming up tomorrow out at Hyatt Lost Pines in the Wolf Dancer Resort. And BK and Trey, you guys will be out there in the midday tomorrow, right, to do your show?
Yeah, man.
Ricky Williams going to drop by and be a guest with you guys. It's always good to see Ricky. By the way, how did the pepper eating go yesterday?
Oof. I'm still feeling the remnants of that. It has not come out the other side, which I've been told is going to be a painful experience when it does happen.
Oh, thank you. Buck off to that.
But
bubble guts.
My stomach has been feeling all kinds of ways.
So you lost a bet to Trey. You guys do a lot of bets and stunts and things like that on that show, 11 to 1 every day. And you had to eat, what type of pepper did you eat yesterday?
An habanero pepper. Ooh.
It was kind of a burnt orange hue to it, maybe a little more Tennessee orange than burnt orange.
Yeah, I had to do it during the last segment of the show. It was about probably a 9-minute segment. Did it right from the top, and took the whole thing down in one bite. Didn't hurt too bad, but as the segment progressed, I couldn't have any water, couldn't have any milk, any sugar, whatever is supposed to help with that stuff until the segment ended. So Trey was trying to talk to me back and forth. I was struggling. I was crying. My nose was running a little bit. But it got done, celebrated, did a nice little Indy 500 milk shower over near Bucky's chair, and then drank a bunch of milk, chugged that down, so we survived. But, man, it's going to hurt at some point today.
Was it did it start kind of easy? It felt pretty good, and then it just all kicked in? Is that the deal?
Yeah, a couple of swallows. Ooh. You know, just biting into it wasn't too bad, but once I got towards the seeds, and I wanted to tough it out and just actually chew it and eat it normally versus just swallowing the whole thing whole, which probably would have been easier. But, wanted to do it the right way, wanted to get it done, and by the end of the segment, I didn't think I was going to make it.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
I got to stop losing bets.
You got to stop losing bets. All right, lot to do. How about this? Today is, according to this hashtag, is National Fried Chicken Day. Fried Chicken Day.
Oh.
That's a pretty good day as far as days go. Maybe some of you guys had fried chicken on 4th of July. So we'll put that out there to the Show of the People audience. I think Lucy's will get some votes. Where is the diamond in the rough? You know, we talk a lot of barbecue, talk a lot of where the best spots are. I always tell you about DeSano Pizza for the pizza. Where are you going for the best fried chicken on National Fried Chicken Day? And I will say, having done the show with Bucky for nearly two decades, this is the point of the show where he would talk about his mother's bloody fried chicken that she would make when he was growing up. So he has kind of an aversion to the fried chicken. His mom wouldn't cook it all the way, and there'd still be like blood on the bone. You can't do that, BK.
No.
You gotta, can't have that.
Can't accept that, man.
No, Pat Sajak.
Can't accept that.
No, we cannot have blood on the bone on National Fried Chicken Day. So give us your spots where it's always done right, or maybe you've got a special recipe. We'll take those throughout the morning as we get this thing going. Let's get you the news, get you caught up from the Ticket City Update Desk. Headlines brought to you by UBO Business Services, and start with the Astros. How about the streak they are on? They beat up on the Braves again last night. George Springer broke a 4-4 tie in the seventh inning with an RBI single. Josh Reddick, Marwin Gonzalez each had three RBIs. The Astros beat up the Braves 10-4. Houston's won 12 of 15 and playing good ball for A.J. Hinch.
They had the one big inning today, but we played as complete a baseball as we can do. And obviously, always ways to get better, but when we get going in all cylinders, it's fun to watch.
Certainly was. They head to Toronto now to open up a four-game series with the Blue Jays tonight. Fellow All-Star Lance McCullers will open the series tonight for the Astros. Andrew Cashner held the hot-hitting Red Sox hitless into the sixth inning last night. That's a feat with the bats they're swinging right now. Rougned Odor hit an early two-run homer. Rangers ended Boston's six-game win streak and avoided a sweep with an 8-2 win in Arlington for Jeff Banister.
The sinker was pretty dynamic for him. They stuck with it. Great pitch for him tonight. Great focus. You know, when we get performances like that, obviously that sets up everything for our offense. You get our guys back in the dugout. They know what to do when they're in the batter's box.
Right, your Rangers take today off. They're going to open a weekend series with the Angels tomorrow night in Arlington. Round Rock fell to Memphis 6-4 last night at Dell Diamond. Same two again tonight. 7:05 first pitch for a thirsty Thursday. The Bud Lights at the Dell Diamond. You'll hear that game right here on the Horn after Chad and Kevin tonight, 7:05, with Mike Capps on the call. NBA news, Boston Celtics, Utah Jazz have now engaged in sign-and-trade talks involving Gordon Hayward and Celtics forward Jay Crowder. Of course, we told you yesterday that Hayward inked a max deal with Boston as a free agent. Now they're working out a sign-and-trade potentially. Celtics have been actively engaging with teams to clear cap space to afford that big contract, trading either Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, or possibly the former Longhorn, Avery Bradley. Dallas Cowboys in the news. How about owner and general manager Jerry Jones? Will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as part of the 2017 class on the 5th of August in Canton, Ohio. Yesterday, Jones announced that his wife, Jean, will be his presenter, saying that his wife of 54 years is, quote, the backbone of their family, their closest advisor and best friend. It's only fitting that she present me and represent our entire family at this very special time. By the way, former Cowboys head coach Jimmy Johnson will also be in Canton the weekend of August the 5th. He's going to present former Dolphins defensive end Jason Taylor into the Hall of Fame. Former TCU star LaDainian Tomlinson has chosen his fullback and good friend Lorenzo Neal as his presenter. Some off-the-field news for the Cowboys. It's not so good. Dak Prescott being accused by a card company of not signing his autographs on his trading cards, yet instead using a machine. And how about this one? Cowboys linebacker Damian Wilson arrested Tuesday night and charged with two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon after he allegedly backed his car into a woman and then brandished a rifle at Toyota Stadium during the Frisco Freedom Fest, fighting over a parking space. And that's the news from the Ticket City Update Desk. All right, here we go. Best fried chicken, Tumble 22. Tumble, write these down, BK, because I like some good fried chicken, man. I mean, it's a little hot outside for fried chicken, but boy, is it good. How about Gus's Fried Chicken downtown is the best. I've heard that from many people. It says, BK, did you have a psychedelic experience from the habanero? Psychedelic.
No hallucinations. We were all right. I mean, I drove home maybe 100 miles an hour to get to my bed and take a nap, so I didn't have to feel that thing digest, but no hallucinating.
No hallucinating. Well, that's good. So we'll take your best fried chicken on National Fried Chicken Day. I'll give you a quick stat, BK. I don't want to make this all Astros all the time, but the Astros are the first team 31 over 500 prior to the All-Star break since the 0-1 Mariners. 0-1 Mariners, who went on to win 116 games but did not win the World Series. Also, the Astros are batting .373 this month. They're averaging over 10 runs per game. Now, it's only 6 days in at this point, but they're streaking. I mentioned that George Springer's up over 300 now. Yuri Gurriel's over 300 now. He's batting .611 this month. Carlos Correa's batting .636. That lineup is just ridiculous right now. And we said way back first 4 or 6 weeks of the season, when they get it going, they're going to be a juggernaut, and they absolutely are right now. Scored 26 runs in the two games with the Braves. That comes off of that series with the Yankees where they were pounding the baseball and had a great series there. So the Astros head to Toronto. That'll be an interesting series. You know, Blue Jays are not we talked last hour about the Rangers. Are they going to be buyers or sellers at the break? There's already talk that the Blue Jays might be sellers come the break time. They've got some big contracts that they may be willing to move, but for contenders. But the Astros go in there. And Ranger fans know you can go in there and get rocked around pretty good by the Blue Jays lineup.
Nobody else does. It's only the Rangers that seemingly find a way to every single year. So
maybe that's my concern, because I keep watching the Rangers go in there and get beat up. But we'll see. Astros with Lance McCullers on the hill tonight. It's going to be fun to watch these guys this evening. That'll be a fun series. Rangers taking the day off. All right, BK, let's drive into our Coach's Corner.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
All right, speaking of baseball, we'll talk to Gene Watson, director of pro scouting, coming up. We'll get his thoughts on this Astro team. His Royals are surging in the AL Central. and the other top stories of the baseball year. But fantasy football, BK, you a big fantasy football player?
Not a huge fantasy football player, but I keep up with it a lot. I've kind of been getting more into the daily fantasy stuff, which a lot of people are into. But I keep up with what's going on out there.
Yeah, well, you got to, man. We've been playing. I've been playing a long time. It obviously keeps you involved, but it gives you. I know some people don't like it, and that's fine. But fantasy football, a good way to launch into football conversations. But you know, when you look at this year's run. And when you start preparing for your draft and when you start getting your head around who the best teams are going to be, start with the running backs. If you play fantasy football, BK, you know you've got to have good running backs, and where can you find them? There's always that debate about when you take a quarterback. And I'll say this for strategy, the quarterback position has never been deeper. Now, this is one of those where, yeah, you'd like to have Aaron Rodgers at the top or Tom Brady, but are you going to be that disappointed if in the fifth or sixth round you pick up Marcus Mariota or you pick up a guy like that? That's how deep, because it's a passing league now. I mean, think about all the guys who are going to go over 4,000. Your Kirk Cousins is going to put up big numbers for you, and you can get him late. So the deal would be, can you get those running backs early? Because you just feel like if you're in a 10- or 12-team league, everybody is going to have a high-end quarterback. Everybody is going to be able to find a quarterback that produces big numbers because there are just so many guys that do. The things that separates... And the same can be said for receivers because of being a passing league. To me, the thing that separates, teams in fantasy football, BK, is the guys that have top-end running backs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The running backs and the wide receivers are always big, and it's going to be interesting to see who goes number one overall. I mean, there's not a clear-cut number one like there has been in years past. I think there's really three guys you could argue all at the running back spot with, of course, Zeke Elliott of the Cowboys. Now he's got that potential off-the-field sexual assault thing hanging over his head a little bit, so if your draft is coming up, maybe something to be wary of. Of course, Le'Veon Bell, the Pittsburgh Steelers, no weed suspension as of now. That could also change. And then David Johnson, who had a breakout year with Arizona last year, gets a ton of receptions, big part of the pass-catching game for Arizona, and Carson Palmer. All three of those guys, I mean, it depends on which mock draft you look at and which rankings you look at. All three of those guys are going to get you a ton of points and could easily go number one. And after that, if you don't have one of the top three picks, a lot of positive name. I saw Jordan Howard, who had a breakout rookie year for the Bears last year. Jay Ajayi, another rookie last year, who came onto the scenes. Last year was a huge year for rookie running backs. Jay Ajayi, of course, of the Dolphins. He's a guy to look out for as well. Now, what are you going to get out of the rookies? What is Leonard Fournette going to give you with Jacksonville? Can Joe Mixon be a type of sleeper? Can he get in there with Cincinnati, whether you like where he was picked or not? And what about Marshawn Lynch? Where does he go after taking a year off in the NFL? We know what he's capable of as a runner. Can he give you some good value in the potential second or third round?
That's right. I mean, and that's well said. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Zeke Elliott are your top running backs. I mean, that's no doubt. I mean, for most everybody. We drafted LeSean McCoy last year in Buffalo, and he was terrific. But you don't know. That was a Rex Ryan coach team that was going to pound the rock, and they were ground and pound, and they didn't play very good defense, and that's why Rex Ryan was fired. But LeSean McCoy was really good. But you're right. I mean, the question will be, what about a Todd Gurley in year two? Can the LA Rams, with their new coach, can he be a guy that steps in and steps up and becomes the star that they anticipate? Because a lot of people thought he was going to be a top-end player. Melvin Gordon in San Diego is a player to keep an eye on. Those are the guys, BK, that if you hit on, then all of a sudden you're separating because, again, everybody's going to have a quarterback that's going to put up big numbers. Most are going to be able to find a couple competent 2 to 3 receivers that are going to catch them and score a lot of points. Who are the guys that are going to tote the rock? Leonard Fournette's an interesting name in Jacksonville. Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey are really interesting players because, if you're in a PPR league and if you're fantasy football ignorant, it is point per reception. So if that's big, obviously every catch is a point. So if you have a running back who catches 6-8 balls a game, that adds up quickly. But Christian McCaffrey with Cam Newton and company in Carolina. Which one would you favor as a rookie? Fournette in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles and what they're trying to do. Tom Coughlin now the team president there. Doug Marrone is going to, I think, bring kind of a physical pound the ball, Tom Coughlin nature to the coaching staff. Fournette or McCaffrey?
I'd probably go with Leonard Fournette just because he seems to be the clear-cut number one running back, whereas you still got Jonathan Stewart out in Carolina. Now, PPR league, of course, that could play a little bit of an impact. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to have a big role. But, Leonard Fournette's going to be the bulk, the heavy set, main focus of the offense for Jacksonville. I really think this is Blake Bortles' last year. I mean, I've never been high on that guy from the start. I think they're going to stop trotting him out there at some point. So I do expect Leonard Fournette to get more touches. Carolina's obviously got a better team than Jacksonville, but if I had to pick one of those two guys, I'd probably bank on Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I would too. And those are the kind of guys that can really change your fate when it comes time. Obviously, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're looking at at Zeke Elliott. He'll be your first guy off the board. But that's where I mentioned the quarterbacks. You can get Dak Prescott later in the draft, and Dak Prescott put up great numbers a year ago, and I think everyone assumes he's going to follow that up with a great season with all the weapons that they do have. I think the interesting question for Cowboys fans and fantasy football drafters is Dez Bryant. You know, Dez Bryant was the guy who, gosh, man, a couple years ago looked like he was heading to Canton in the Hall of Fame. Last couple of years since he signed that big contract, injuries, and he just hasn't been the same dominant football player.
No,
can he get back to that?
You could point to injuries. You could point to the big contract that he signed, too, which has kind of been a skepticism of mine over the last few years. But what Dez Bryant has been, the yards haven't been there, the catches haven't been there. He's a touchdown machine, and you have to assume with a full offseason with Dak Prescott as the number one quarterback in the second year of those two dudes on the field. Now, Dez Bryant has been injured a lot recently. Can he stay healthy for a full 16-game season? But I don't think he's going to be one of the first five or six receivers taken off the board. If you can get him for a good value, I don't know, fourth, fifth, maybe sixth round for Dez Bryant, depending on how big your league is. I think he's a dude who is worth taking a shot on. Look, in the state of Texas, he'll probably go higher than most. Some people might take him in the second or third just because of what he's capable of. I'm a little skeptical of Dez Bryant, number one, staying healthy. But you're right, his production has gone down over the last couple of years.
Cowboys should be a pretty damn good offense, though, and score a lot of points. Plus, with the additions of Ryan Switzer at the receiver position, they re-signed Terrence Williams. They still have Cole Beasley, Jason Witten still running around.
That could be a dude worth taking a late-round flyer on. I mean, yeah. He's not going to be drafted, so you probably won't have to worry with Ryan Switzer, but I think he might be getting some returns for the Cowboys this year, and I think he's going to see the field a lot. Apparently, he's blowing dudes away in training camp.
With his quickness.
Yeah, he's hard to stop, right? No one can stay in front of him. He's a Cole Beasley prototype, and if you can get one of those dudes on each side of the field, there might be some balls for Ryan Switzer for the Cowboys.
Yeah, late. Let me ask you this. Go back to the running backs. Start a little fantasy football here in our coach's corner because it's that time. You're about to take a vacation. You're going to be laying on the beach or going out to wherever you're going to be vacationing and taking your fantasy football magazine, your Phil Steele's college football, and really starting to absorb the football season, which is plowing towards us. What do we make of Marshawn Lynch, beast mode, back in Oakland? I look at that and say, okay, year off, but he's still not 30 years old. Fresh legs would be an argument, plus three Pro Bowlers on the offensive line, a quarterback like Derek Carr just got the big deal, weapons on the outside, so you can't stack the box and load the box like they used to do against him in Seattle. You buying low or high on Marshawn Lynch back in the NFL?
Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, you look at him and you look at Adrian Peterson, two dudes who we know are really capable of carrying the rock, who've had phenomenal seasons. I mean, Adrian Peterson's an MVP one time in this league that's been pass happy, as you mentioned, for the last 15 years or so. So, look, I think it's worth taking a shot on. I mean, look, they're going to go pretty high, both of those dudes, just because of what they're capable of.
Their names, right?
You talk about it. I mean, the Raiders have a ridiculous offensive line. They got an MVP candidate quarterback in Derek Carr. They've got weapons all over the field. Not that anybody would ever forget about Marshawn Lynch, but boy, if Derek Carr gets it going early with Amari Cooper and Crabtree on the outside, then it could be a good year for Lynch should he stay healthy. And same with Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson's got a little bit more competition, if you will, in the backfield in New Orleans with Mark Ingram. But, man, with Drew Brees and that potential passing offense for the Saints, I know New Orleans hasn't quite been very good the last few years, but that offense still puts up pretty big numbers. I think both of those dudes are going to go relatively high because of the names that they provide.
Yeah, I saw, and we talked yesterday with Alex Okafor, who has signed a deal this offseason with the New Orleans Saints, former Longhorn, former All-American, who played his first several years in Arizona. He's now in New Orleans, and we asked him about Adrian Peterson. He said, oh, man, he is still a freak. He said, if you were having, you're just picking sides like the Sandlot, everyone would still take Adrian Peterson because he's still working his tail off. And that'll be interesting. I mean, the issue there when you're playing fantasy football is, does he share carries? You have a guy like Mark Ingram, who they signed as well, re-signed him as a free agent. You know, does he start vulturing carries and touchdowns? And you want that every down back. You want that Zeke Elliott who's going to pound the rock and be the guy who scores 20 touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson in Arizona is an absolute workhorse. But then you have those situations where, you know, in Tennessee you have DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. In New Orleans you have Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram. In Atlanta, the runners-up in the Super Bowl a year ago, you've got a guy like Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. You know, who's going to get the bulk of the load as this thing moves forward? Those are always decisions you got to make as this thing gets going. And don't forget about down in Houston with Lamar Houston, or Lamar Miller, I should say, with the Texans. He had a good rookie year, first year with Houston. You know, they feel like their quarterback situation is going to be better this year. They've added some other pieces to weaponry on the outside, at least a year more with Will Fuller. Braxton Miller, they feel like, knows the offense better and can be more of an impact player along with DeAndre Hopkins. Lamar Miller is the guy to keep your eye on. Obviously, Dante Foreman is there, the Longhorns, the rookie, but I think most people expect Lamar Miller to be
the bell cow of that offense.
What about you, E? If you draw the lucky straw, if you get the first pick in your fantasy football draft, who are you rocking with? You're rocking with Johnson, you're rocking with Bell, or are you going Zeke?
I think I'm going Zeke, and I hear the text that says DJ David Johnson, the number one pick. And that, look, you can't be criticized if you take David Johnson. He is an absolute hoss. He's their best receiver as well. I mean, out of the backfield, he gets a matchup on linebackers. I just like the overall offensive situation better in Dallas. I'm not sold on Carson Palmer at his age. I'm not sold on their offensive line right now. I just think the overall Dallas offense is better, which is why I would cede to Zeke Elliott. And I don't think when you look at the end of the season that David Johnson is going to have significantly more catches than Zeke Elliott. I think Zeke Elliott out of the backfield, he may not have 6 or 8 a game like David Johnson, but he's going to have 4 or 5, I think, on screen plays and little wheel routes. I think Zeke Elliott is a good receiver out of the backfield. And I think, as Bucky has said, I think he has an even better year this year in his second year. He's even said that he missed a lot of long runs a year ago, that he thinks he should have broken a tackle or made a guy miss and could have taken it for big numbers. I would take Zeke Elliott just a shade over David Johnson, and then Le'Veon Bell would be number 3.
That's pretty funny because you got the texter saying, DJ, you got Zeke. I think I'd take Lev Bell just because he's proven it for the longest period of time.
He's a stud, man.
And he's only 25. He's not like one of those running backs who already has a ton of miles on him, who's already getting close to that 28, 29 mark that scares you a little bit. But we've only seen it 1 year out of Johnson. We've only seen it 1 year out of Zeke. You know what you're getting with Le'Veon Bell as long as he stays on the field. I'd go with him. But it's a great debate. I mean, any one of those three guys, you can make a strong argument for the number one pick.
Absolutely. We'll talk some baseball with Gene Watson, director of pro scouting, Kansas City Royals, coming up. We woke him up early. He's in Seattle, so he's on West Coast time. But the Royals are making a surge. We'll talk with him about the Astros, the Rangers, who's going to be a buyer and a seller come deadline time. Also, over in the National League, we'll hit a little baseball. We'll also knock it out with Hot or Not with BK. But before the end of this hour, a lot to do. It's Buck Ons and Buck Offs on National Fried Chicken Day. Are you kidding me? Where is the best fried chicken in all of Central Texas? We'll take that. This says Dan's Chicken in Fort Worth. Best fried chicken ever. This says Mr. P's Electric Cock on Rainy Street. You been to that one, BK?
No.
Mr. P's Electric Cock.
Interesting,
eh? That could actually be a fantasy football team name right there. The Electric Cockadoodle-Doos. You know what I'm saying?
Electric South Carolina Gamecocks.
Gus's World Famous Fried Chicken on 2nd and San Jacinto has been nominated again. Lucy's. Again, and this says Gus is where it's at. So we'll take your fried chicken and your faves as we come back. It's B&E on a Buck Off Thursday, 104.9 AM 1260. Stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, B&E on the Horn. BK and E today. Bucky taking the day. His golf tournament, 17th annual Mullet Open, is tomorrow, benefiting the Refuge Ranch and Burke Center for Youth, two incredible causes. We'll learn more about those tomorrow for sure as we get to play some golf. Couple of notes before we get to the Bob's and Steak and Chop House Hotline, BK. Some fantasy football team names I saw, if you're looking for a good one, if you're going to play this year. How about this one? The Golden Tate Warriors.
Oh.
You like that one?
They got the Golden Tate Warrior
See,
Cupcakes
you get
or something.
What they did there,
yeah.
The cupcakes? How about when the Le'Veon breaks?
Nice.
Yeah, a little Le'Veon if you got him on your team. Hide and Zeke if you've got Zeke Elliott. That's a pretty good one. Le'Veon on a Prayer. I like that one, too. And how about this one? My ball, Zach Ertz.
Oh, well played. Well played.
Good one. We'll do some more of those as we move forward. But right now, let's go to the Bob's Steak and Chop House Hotline. He is up early, and he's on the West Coast, and we can't thank him enough. He's the director of pro scouting of those red-hot and surging Kansas City Royals in the American League Central, our great friend Gene Watson. Gene, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. You're up early.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that time of year, trade deadline, and things are going. So it's pretty exciting right now. It's an exciting time.
It certainly is. I want to talk to you about that market and what you think the trade market will look like. But let's start at the top, and we'll get to your Royals. What about these Houston Astros? They've got a .287 team batting average now. You know, everyone seems to be hitting in that lineup. They're 31 over 500. I know you're good friends with A.J. Hinch and Trey Hillman. I mean, this team is a juggernaut right now.
They really are, and as before, you know, they're really moving on a historical pace right now, and they've got a tremendous team. They're playing well together. They've adding Carlos Beltran was a tremendous add to the team. Brian McCann, guys that have been there, experienced it, and just know what it takes to get. You know, when you're in October, there's a lot of little finite things that separate teams that win from teams that lose. And when you've got guys that have of those stature that have been there before, it really makes a big difference in the way your team goes about it day to day, and they're certainly doing that right now.
And it seems like everybody's rising to this historic opportunity. Let me mention George Springer and your thoughts. He's going to start in his first All-Star game. He's a five-tool player. He's up over 300 now. And I saw a stat that Richard Justice tweeted out last night that since A.J. moved him into the leadoff role, when he leads off, the Astros are 121-73, which is 48 games over 500. Obviously, it's more than just him, but what a spark plug he is at the top of that order.
It really is, and you know that's one of the things a lot of people don't realize how important what a manager can see in a player and can see what a player can do to inject a lineup, and that was a really critical move. And you know, you look around the league. I mean, with us, with Escobar, you know, he's not the prototypical leadoff hitter, but when he's in the leadoff spot, we just win. And when George Springer is in the leadoff spot for the Astros, they just win. And it was a critical move that got some criticism at the time, but it certainly made AJ look like a genius at this point.
Yeah, he picked up his first two steals last night, so he's not a stolen base guy, but we know he's a great athlete, and obviously the leadoff home runs and the spark it can give you, and it scares a pitcher. I mean, he's trying to get ahead fastball. Springer keeps hitting home runs and putting the team ahead early. The Astros on an historically good pace. What about your Kansas City Royals, Gene? You're now 4 over .500. You're 7-3 in the last 10. You've been playing great baseball. You told us last time we spoke that, you know, everybody in the American League's only a couple of good weeks from being right there. You feel like your team has turned the corner now.
We really have. And, you know, I think it was a lot of things, but I think the biggest thing was with all the free agents that we have on our team right now, there were a lot of guys that showed up and early on were pressing to try to put up big numbers for themselves and got away from who we've been the last 4 years. And that's just a keep the line moving type of offense and play for each other and make productive outs and move runners and steal bases. And we weren't doing that in April. And I think once everybody started to relax and settle in and realize, you know what, this is going to be a grind, we started playing to our capabilities. And it's, you know, everybody goes through good and bad during the season. And our bad just happened to be April this year, but we're really excited that we're back on track and looking forward to what the next few months are going to hold.
Well, how about Jason Vargas, Gene? I mean, he's 12-3. The ERA is microscopic. Is he going to start the All-Star game? Is that something he's earned?
I think he has. I don't think last night helped, but it's just an amazing story. And you would have to know Jason. I mean, if you put Jason Vargas in the University of Texas uniform and watched him throw, I mean, a lot of guys would go, well, you know, he's going to be a nice professional pitcher, but nobody would predict that he would get to the big leagues, and certainly nobody would predict that he would put up the type of year that he's put up. But it just speaks to his preparation, the way he goes about his day to day. You know, he's coming off the Tommy John surgery, which is a really, really difficult time in a pitcher's life, and to have to go through that daily grind of the rehab, and you don't know what's going to happen. You have no you hope and you pray for the best, but when you get back out on the field, you have no idea what the results are going to be. And for him to be putting up these type of results is really, really big for us, speaks to his character and work ethic and the way he prepares every day.
Gene Watson is with us, Director of Pro Scouting with the Kansas City Royals. A little overview of the baseball situation as we approach the All-Star game coming up on Tuesday. Hey, Gino, the Rangers, what's your gut feel on Texas? I mean, BK and I were debating whether they're going to be buyers or sellers, and, you know, we're about 3 weeks out to that trade deadline. The Rangers are three under .500 now. They're in that wild card race, but do you feel like they're going to be looking for or looking to add or looking to move?
I don't think any teams are just going to give up. I just think that the way this sets up now, and as talented as their core is, and you know, it's said all the time, two good weeks. And when you've got a talented core, it's different if you look at your team and there are imminent holes in your everyday lineup. And you look at third base and there's not a player. That's not the case here. If you look at shortstop and there's not a impact player, that's not the case here. So I don't think that they're a team that's ever going to sell. I think that there could be a situation where they do a little buying and a little selling. But, you know, that second wild card has just really thrown a different dynamic into it all, in that, you know, we ultimately answer to our fans, and if your fans want you to win, you got to go for it. And you know, Ranger fans are as passionate as anybody in the game, and they're still within striking distance. They're two good weeks from being back in the wild card, and so I see them just really trying to make a push the rest of the way.
It'd be interesting with a guy like you, Darvish. I mean, philosophically, he's a free agent at the end of the year, but you's going to the All-Star game. I know there'd be demand for him on an open market situation, but and I agree with you. I don't know. Well, I'm not sure what the Rangers are going to do in that spot with John Daniels.
Well, you know, the thing about pitching right now, and that's probably the most evident thing in the game right now, is if you have an impactful pitcher that can make a difference in a playoff, you have an enormous commodity. And there's just no pitching depth in the game right now. Every team that is struggling with pitching, is they're all struggling for the same reasons, and that's the lack of depth. The supply and the demand right now is just enormous. Every year you've got pitchers that retire, you've got pitchers that get hurt, and this year it's the greatest need. So you have that really difficult decision of, do we go for it with the team that we have, or maybe we could take this piece, and man, the players we could get for this piece would be really, really good for our future. And it puts a lot of clubs, and even us, in the last 2 weeks, you know, we've been in a really tough spot as far as, you know, we've got 7 free agents on the field. If we took those 7 free agents and multiplied off of them, you know, yes, we're going to be bad in 18 and 19, but in 20, 21, 22, now you're rebuilt for another run. And with the type of team that we have and the way we're playing and the fan base that we have, we're going to continue to push towards winning a championship.
Yeah, that's a tempting thing to think for the future. But, yeah, your fans want to win today and see those W's rack up. Hey, go over to the National League quickly. Milwaukee's probably the best story there. They're now 7 over 500. Corey Knebel, former Longhorn, is setting records as their closer now. Props to Milwaukee. They've built a team that a lot of people didn't see coming.
Well, this is a really, really great story. And you know what? I at first thought, well, you know what? It's a great story. Their pitching coach, Derek Johnson, who is at the University of Vanderbilt, is a very good friend of mine. And, you know, we spoke in spring training. He said, Gene, you know, don't sleep on us. We got a decent little club. And Zach Davies can really, really pitch. It's more pitchability and command and preparation than it is stuff. But he's done a tremendous job. Matt Garza is an anchor in that rotation at the three hole. But they've got a really young team. Eric Thames coming back from Japan and the numbers that he's put up has really, really been a jolt for that offense. And they've got a team that believes they can win. They've got a great manager, and they're in a winnable division. So I think everybody kind of saw Milwaukee coming in 18 and 19, but I don't think they saw the type of run they could go on right now. And Corey's just done a tremendous job, and we're so excited for him. Everybody, you know, it seems like we talk about him every day from people from Georgetown, just a great family and a great kid. And so well-deserving of what he's accomplishing.
Yeah, another struck out the side again last night in a non-save situation against the Orioles. But Corey Knebel, former Longhorn, having a heck of a year in Georgetown, his hometown. How about the Dodgers quickly? Your thoughts there? I mean, they're kind of the Astros of the National League right now. They're bashing people around, but they can really pitch and close games. And, you know, the young talent, you know, Cody Bellinger's the latest. Their farm system has really, you know, produced some great talent for the L.A. Dodger fans.
Well, that's the scary thing about the Dodgers, and I've seen their system this year. And they have, other than the injury to Urias, they have an extremely deep system. So anything that they feel like they need to go get, they have the opportunity to go get because of the depth of their system. But this, you know, we're going into L.A. today, so this is going to be a really good challenge going into the All-Star break. But Corey Seager is just one of the most gifted young players that there is in the game. Bellinger is a gifted young player. Chris Taylor, who is kind of a not really a journeyman, but a guy that had just been around with the Seattle Mariners. You could move around the diamond a little bit. He's been a great story for him. Having Jock Peterson back healthy has been big. And, you know, for all the criticism that Yusel Puig gets, he's done a nice job of blending in more this year, and it's all played out on the field. And when you run that bullpen out that they have, anchored by Kenley Jansen, and the starting pitching they have with Clayton Kershaw, It's a really good team. A lot of people feel like this could be the year for the Dodgers. And the scary, scary part about this team is they have a need. They've got everything they need in the minor leagues to go get it.
Gene Watson, Director of Pro Scouting, as good overview as you'll get on the world of Major League Baseball and his Kansas City Royals in L.A. this weekend to face those Dodgers. Gino, you feel the same way about the Astros? I mean, their system may not be as deep as the Dodgers. You think if they feel like they need another reliever or an arm, they'll go get it?
Yeah, I mean, they have the pieces. I've seen their system, too. They've got a tremendous young hitter named Kyle Tucker that was a first-round pick a few years ago. That's just a Sean Green gifted power-type bat. He's 20 years old in AA. They have a pitcher that's back and forth, Francis Martes. They have a young pitcher down in A-ball named Franklin Perez. So they have a lot of impact more than they do depth. And that's the interesting thing is when you've got impactful prospects, it allows you to make the deals that you need to make.
Gino, we always appreciate it. Let's keep tabs and keep in touch and talk some more baseball. It's trade deadline 3 weeks away, and the All-Star game should be a lot of fun on Tuesday.
I'm leaving for Miami Saturday. Can't wait to get there.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. There's Gene Watson in one of our great, one of our favorite conversations. If you love baseball, sit back and listen. And really, really good overview. We could keep on going. There's so many good stories right now. But obviously the Astros, he thinks the Rangers will stick with it and stick with their core. We'll see if that's true. The Royals making a move on the Indians there in the AL Central. Dodgers, the team to beat in the National League right now. The Brewers, a good story as well. Props to Corey Knable and a buck on. To Corey and Knable. We'll get a break, come back. BK leads us through Hot or Not. We're going to go down to San Antonio in our next hour. Ari Temkin from ESPN San Antonio to find out what the heck the Spurs are doing or not doing in the world of NBA free agency. His overview of what he's seen in the first couple of weeks of league business. We'll dive in there. It's B&E on the Horn. It's 104.9. It's AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
Hot or not, BK will lead us through a couple on my end. How about National Fried Chicken Day? People doing a good job of getting us these. It says lots of good chicken out there. It's not the recipe, it's the cook. You have to know how to fry it. This one says KFC, baby. KFC. Someone gave you Popeyes, BK.
Oh, yeah. Popeyes is the all-time number one. Nothing will ever top that.
You think so, huh?
That was the best.
This can't beat Babe's Chicken. A couple other things that are hot. George Springer batting .463 in his last 10 games. He's up over .300 now. As I mentioned, that ridiculous stat that the Astros are 48 games over .500 since he's been inserted into the leadoff spot when he's been healthy. The Astros, a juggernaut. First team over 31 over .500 prior to the All-Star break since the 0-1 Mariners. It's, as you heard from Gene Watson, they're on a historic pace at this point. So what's some other things that are hot or not? How about these fantasy football team names? We were talking some fantasy football earlier, a couple more. We'll run through these throughout the course of the show. Here's a good one. Wentz, twice, three times a lady. If you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, you like that one, Carson Wentz?
I don't like Carson Wentz a whole lot.
This one's Discount Belichick.
There it is.
You like that one from the Discount Double Check? This one, now this one's like a little PG-13. Forte Inch Ditka.
Well played.
Matt Forte, Mike Ditka, I like it. BK, what do you have?
All right, guys. Well, I guess one guy in there. Let's start with a sports question, then we'll get to a couple of movie-related questions.
Oh, see?
Day.
Here we go.
But our man Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports released his top five college football coaches on the hot seat going into 2017. His list in this order. Number one, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame.
True.
Number two, Pudgy Summey,
ooh.
Texas A&M.
Kevin Sumlin, yes.
Number three, Rich Rodriguez at Arizona.
Really?
Number four, Todd Graham at Arizona State.
Yeah.
And number five, Bucky Zman, Cliff Kingsbury, Texas Tech. You buy that top five?
I do. I didn't know Rich Rod was on the hot seat.
They were terrible last year.
Yeah, they were. But it is Arizona. I mean, how much consistent success do they have? But Arizona State, Todd Graham's bounced around. He was a hot commodity. He's kind of fallen off, at Arizona State. I buy all those. I mean, Brian Kelly is not in good favor right now with the brass at Notre Dame. They were in the national title game a few years ago, but last year fell to 4-8, and all the off-field issues that they've had, grade scandals, and just a lot of issues. And Kevin Sumlin for sure. I mean, his own boss, his AD, has gone on record saying, "Hey, put up or shut up time. We've expanded the stadium. You've recruited well. We've hired the coaching staff that you say you need, the offensive and defensive." It's time to put some wins on the board and compete at a high level. And I'll say this too, BK, the SEC West is as open as it's been. I mean, Alabama's going to be Alabama. But LSU has a new coach and a new regime. Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss have been rattled by the NCAA. Brett Bielema is, sucking wind at Arkansas right now. I mean, Auburn, what is Gus Malzahn going to have year to year? They've got, this is, you've established your program. You've had 6 years. Here you go. Now it's time to go put something on the field that can compete. If you lose to Alabama, you lose to Alabama, but you can't lose to the entire SEC West.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be in contention for that top spot. You've got to be looking at 10 wins, 9-10 wins, and really in contention late November, or else, I think Kevin Sumlin will have been given plenty of opportunity to prove that he's an elite coach. And you're not going to win in the SEC if you don't have an elite coach, BK. You have to. You can't just be okay.
Right. No, it's hard to argue any of those points. All right, movie time. The great Sylvester Stallone, 71 years of age today. Which of the Rocky movies is your favorite? I need a power rankings of the Rocky movies.
Rocky movies. My favorite is probably three. Mr. T, is that the Mr. T one? Clubber Lang?
You're asking the wrong guy here. I've seen zero of those.
I mean, one is obviously the original, and that's one Rocky, you know, Sylvester Stallone wrote and directed, and one was up for Best Picture or whatever, or screenplay, whatever it won at the Oscars. But my favorite was 3 because I was a kid and it was terrific. And then I got to say 4. I got to go Ivan Drago. I got to go 3-4-1-2. I'm going 3-4-1-2.
There you go. All right, last question for the day. Another great
movie. Rip for that, by the way.
I know. I know it's going to happen. I knew people would get mad at you for some way. I had to get that going. Forrest Gump, the movie, was released on this day in 1994. Where does Forrest Gump rank in your, best movies of all time? Is it anywhere close for you?
You know what? I know your partner, Trey Elling, hates this movie, and I don't know why. I thought it was a charming movie. I thought it was terrific. I still love watching Forrest Gump. I think Tom Hanks does a heck of a job of, you know, pulling off that character. It's a little campy at times, a little silly at times, but I think it still stands up. I think it's almost 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10.
Wow.
I think it's that good.
I praise, man.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Okay, thank you.
I shouldn't say it like that. I've seen very little. I did watch Shawshank for the first time last night. Amazing.
10 out of 10.
Awesome. 10 out of 10.
That's one, if it's ever on, you just keep it on. You just keep watching.
Oh, I rewatched the ending like 3 times last night.
Love it. You had a tear in your eye each time.
Oh, it's great.
Hey, one of the things that's hot and on our Hot or Not, how about Mike Gundy's mullet these days? Have you seen that thing going around? I'm going to retweet this thing. Mike Gundy made an appearance on Fox Sports Oklahoma yesterday, and that's the only thing funnier than his mullet is that it says Fox Sports Oklahoma. And then you see Mike Gundy, and he is rocking a world-class mullet. Got to give him props for that on a Buck on Thursday. Nice job. All right, we'll come back. Here's it says, best fantasy name, Romosexual Tendencies. I like it. I like it. We'll be back. Ari Temkin will give us what's going on with those San Antonio Spurs and NBA free agency. Tom Gimbel, live music update for the end of the show. Your Buck-Ons and Buck-Offs, it's a busy Thursday.